y'all. Welcome back to Up the Coast with Alex and Britt. It's officially episode 9, and we are in April. So we're rocking and rolling. ACC play across the country is absolutely bonkers. But before we get into it, Britt, I just want to take a second and acknowledge some news that was shared just this week. My near and dear coach, Alameda, is undergoing some cancer treatments. She was diagnosed with breast cancer earlier this year. She went public with it this week. So everybody's rallying behind her. And I feel like devastating news for the softball community, but nobody better to have a one, really good outlook, and two, just an absolute tribe behind her.
So. Yeah, I think the just outpouring of love that I saw across social media for Coach has just been a testament to how she has really touched the softball community and really anybody that's ever interacted with her, even if it was just for a short moment. Feels like they know Kocha. Like you love her from the second that you get to speak to her, and our hearts and prayers and thoughts are all with her, and the softball community has her back, and there's nobody more beloved in this sport than Kocha.
Yeah. So shout out Kocha. We love you. We're here for you and can't wait to support you through this fight. You're going to kick its ass. So now let's get back to softball. ACC standings this week, Florida State in that top spot, Virginia Tech at 2, Clemson 3, Stanford 4, UNC 5. I think we're all a little surprised to not see the Blue Devils in there. However, they're just kind of going through a bit of a bumpy road right now, and we know their potential. So who knows what could happen in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, three of their losses were the Florida State series. So kind of skewed a little bit after getting swept there. They'll have a chance this weekend against UNC. I think if for them to really get back in it, they're going to need a sweep this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. We've got six teams in the top 30 for RPI. Florida State is sitting there. Duke, Virginia Tech, Stanford, Clemson, Cal. We've got a couple teams on the bubble with Georgia Tech, Virginia, and UNC. But let's talk about first the series in Blacksburg, Virginia. Absolute insanity, Britt. Virginia Tech sweeps Stanford. And this series, I think you coined it best. It really did have it all.
Yeah, I think we knew coming into this series that it was going to be spectacular, but I think it exceeded all expectations. It was the most impressive three-game series that I've seen in a very long time, and I definitely didn't expect Virginia Tech to walk away with a sweep. I thought for sure Stanford would at least get a win out there, and they were positioned to get a couple, but Virginia Tech, man, they just had no die in them. They kept fighting back, clawing back, and then that triple play was phenomenal, but not just because of the play itself, it's when it happened. It was in the top of the sixth, and Stanford had just come off of a 5-run fifth inning. They had runners at first and second. I mean, all the momentum was in their favor. They're up 5-3, and then bam, shut the door with a triple play. And right after that, Virginia Tech gets up to bat and then starts coming back and pouring it on. It was insane. Yeah.
The momentum is everything, I think, in the sport. Obviously, like playing good softball, right? Quality across the board, but momentum, it's like pass the bat, get the job done, and keep the momentum on your side, and keeping it simple is really proving to be beneficial for these teams.
Yeah, and I love when momentum is stolen on defense. Like, yeah, you can get some momentum when you start hitting some balls, but once you get that momentum on defense, like a strike them out, throw them out to end the inning, get out of a big jam, turn a triple play, I mean, I love that. That was awesome.
Yeah, super good. All the games were within a run difference, which I think is also crazy. Like, just the back and forth, the lead changes was just bizarre. Virginia Tech was timely and clutch with the hits and the swings, the big swings too, right? That were the difference. Emma Lemley's the shit. That hasn't changed. And then just looking at, like, total team stats, which we know Virginia Tech is a really good home run hitting team, but something I think that stood out the most was that there are 11 Virginia Tech hitters that have recorded a home run. And there are other teams in the conference that have that many players that have hit a home run. But then not only that, 10 of the 11 have hit three or more. So you're talking like complete team depth offensively, which is, in my opinion, one of the difference makers, along with some other depth, right? Quality defense, depth in the circle, that helps.
I think we always ask about Virginia Tech, too. Can they win the big game? Like, they always come up short. Now, I'm interested in your opinion, after taking Stanford in 3 one-run games, has this proven to you that maybe this team does have the depth and the tools to win the big game?
Yeah, I think so. And I say that because we've seen Virginia Tech this year have some really quality wins, which, like you said, that's kind of been iffy in the past. They've taken care of business on those one game outings, right? But then to do what they did in a series and sweep the series, I think is where I'm like, oh, like I'm bought into this at this point, because sweeping in general is really hard, beating a team three times with how much information and technology we have now. But to do it against such a quality team like Stanford, like you've got to be doing the right stuff all the time, right? And that's just, I think, a testament right now to their consistency.
And I think people are starting to take notice. I feel like Virginia Tech's always forgotten. Like they get overshadowed, but I think just having an electric series this weekend, people are taking notice of the Hokies. Nice work, guys.
Yeah, good stuff. I was in Tallahassee this past weekend. I was covering the Florida State and NC State games, and Florida State swept NC State. But on paper, I don't know that it also like reflects, I think, how well NC State was playing. Obviously, you look at the fact that they swept and it's like, oh, okay, like, you know, no brainer. But there were some good games, and Florida State right now does remain the only undefeated team in the ACC. Game two went into extras. Florida State walked it off in the eighth. And we'll talk about that in a second. But NC State played this well this past weekend without Maddie Insko. She didn't travel with the team and was kind of just given some rest time, like handling, you know, stuff back home, taking care of her body, making sure that she's prepped and primed, ready to go for the next 7-ish weeks, right? Maybe give or take a little bit. But I feel like this is a really quality Wolfpack team that's continuing to turn a corner.
What was it about them that impressed you the most? Was it the pitching, the offense? What was it? What'd you see?
Yeah, so the three pitchers across the board just like stepped up, in my opinion, which was nice to see. You've got Wyman, you've got Gore, you've got Maxson, all threw really well again. And to do so without Insko there was saying a lot to me. But then it was like some really timely hits. Like NC State put up some big innings, and that was the difference maker in game two. I think they scored offhand like 3 or 4 runs that inning. And that's ultimately what tied it up with Florida State, caused them to go into extras because nobody could score in the seventh. And so it's like just really stringing things together. I think that NC State's lacking right now more of like the power. Now, they did hit like some doubles and home runs and stuff this weekend, but I think that across the board, they're trying to single people to death. And that's really hard to do. And I think that's why the win-loss column isn't reflecting like maybe we would think.
Yeah, What do you think in Leftwich's second year? Like, how have you seen her put her fingerprint and her mark on this team just based on what you know about Lindsay?
They're, I think, learning a lot better. I think they go out there and they look like they know what they're doing. And when I say that, like, I'm talking softball IQ. Everybody knows how to, like, play the game right on its face, I should say. But actually understanding, like, the who, what, where, when, why, the silly mistakes aren't happening. And not, I don't want to say as much, but I just think that that's, you know, Leftwich and company taking a lot of pride in the small stuff.
Nice. Now, Florida State, they did walk away with the series, and their offense is just, I mean, complete, right?
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast that was recorded, I think, like last week or the week before. And then, of course, I get to go and have a lot of conversations when I'm actually there at the fields. And, you know, Florida State feels like, and specifically Travis Wilson, that this is one of his most complete teams as an offense. And that's saying a lot to me because there's been some really good ones to come through the program. Putting up some big numbers. And I think the thing, though, is they're not necessarily leading the ACC in home runs. Like, they don't have to lead in all the categories to be one of the best offenses. They're doing all of it consistently well. And, you know, you don't have to be number one in 1, 2, 3 things. But if I'm top 5 in 10 things, I think that's the more complete concept here, because they've always been able to run the bases well. They've had power pretty well and pretty consistently. Now their short game is like stupid. And it's not like your typical short gamer where it's like, hey, this person's only going to bunt. Like, it's your girls hitting your doubles and your home runs that are also going to lay down, you know, a sneaky bunt and get on base. And it's just like, it's nasty. So it's great.
I love the note that you put in here that they are 22 for 22 getting on with a sneaky bunt.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was watching all weekend, and I think this weekend they laid down like definitely more than 3, like maybe like 4 or 5. And I texted the SID. I was like, hey, I need you to pull a stat from me real quick. Like, what is Florida State hitting right now with like a bunt for a hit? And he was like, do you mean like ever? Or like, I was like, no, this season. And he's like, oh, interesting. And he like sent me the stat, and I was like, oh, hell yeah. Like, that's a great little piece there. And I was like, but let's not talk about it on air during the game, because I don't want to jinx anybody. But Right. It was super interesting. I was like, huh, I love that. So
I mean, you can't defend it, right? If you're executing appropriately, but you can also hit for power and pop. And I mean, they obviously are very intentional about what they practice and how they go about their business. I guess my last question about Florida State is, I'm always looking in the circle and had some question marks. Tell me what you saw, what you liked, what needs to be improved, if anything, in the circle.
Another little tidbit that I kind of like, I geek out over sometimes is like, how can numbers tell me a story? And in looking at some of the Florida State pitching staff numbers is they've got four pitchers. So they've got five pitchers consistently throwing. I take off McKenna Reed because she doesn't have the amount of innings right now, still kind of recovering from last season's injury and taking care of her body and stuff. So she's getting time, but it's not as long as the others. So she's their fifth in regard to time. But then you've got four pitchers that are splitting time. I mean, almost equally. And I would confidently say and just like put out there that four pitchers have 50 innings or more, because Julia Apsel, or Juju Apsel as they call her for her nickname, she's got 49.2 innings. But that's four pitchers with 50 innings or more. And it's like 49.2 with Juju all the way up to like 56 or 57 with Ashton Danley. And so that to me is like super consistent. It's super, I say fair, not in like life is fair or not fair kind of a way, but just like very even across the board. And they all have different looks. We've got a lot of left heavy arms. And then you've got a couple righties that are just nasty too. And they throw the junk as well. So it's like, it's a really interesting combination.
Yeah. When you see like go look at stats and they have four or five pitchers listed with a lot of innings, usually the ERAs are elevated because they're just trying to throw as many people and see what they can do. And that's not the case with Florida State. They all have great ERAs. And I love how Coach just constructs and is a puppeteer and a mastermind with her pitchers. Yep.
And before we move on, I just want to also like give a little shout out because the Ensley sisters this weekend for NC State looked phenomenal. I also was like pulling numbers for them. And if I remember correctly, it was like 8 for 18 going into the last at bat between the two of them just throughout the series. Like so consistent. One sits at the top of the order. The other one sits more at the bottom half. So like spread amongst the team for like when they're coming up and in what situations. But I just think that that's a lot of consistency as well. So they hit just under 450 or so this weekend. Swinging a good bat. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Should we get into Duke sweeping Louisville?
Yeah. Yeah. I think this was huge for Duke. We saw Louisville come in Chapel Hill a couple weeks ago and take game one. So they can definitely beat some good teams. And Duke was, I think it's fair to say, struggling a little bit. They needed a series sweep, I think, for their confidence to get them back on track. And I think that was a big series for them to go to Louisville and get it done. I think Danny Drugmuller is still stepping up in a big way for Duke, with Ocasty Curd not meeting the expectations that the rest of us had. We can't go into their mindset and what they thought they would see from Cassidy. I could just say I expected to see her in the circle a lot more, but we're all, who's going to be the number two? Who's going to pick up those innings? And Danny Drugmuller's kind of come out as their number one and done a good job for Duke.
Yeah. And I think the other thing to like just kind of continue that piece is Duke didn't get the sweep in a way that we probably would have assumed if they did get a sweep. You know what I'm saying? So like, yeah, you're right. Like Cassidy Curd in the circle didn't do it that way. Did it with a Drugmuller getting the majority of the innings. And then you have people that have been really good throughout their career, right? Like Anna Gold being one of them, but who's been the talk of the town offensively for Duke? It's your girls at the top of the order, you know, Amaya Burgess and Deanna Jennings had like the speed and stuff at the top, right? Like that's how we've known Duke. But then it's like Amina Vega with the big stick and she's just like legit, like lights out. But then it's like, okay, Anna Gold, like now like coming back up here, right? Because she was a career leader in home runs. And again, so has had a very storybook career. And then it's Jada Baker, like swinging a really good stick right now. So again, like you're unsuspecting people getting the job done. But I like that because that's what you need. You need depth to win.
Yeah, especially this time of year. Right. You know, you'd rather have those learn them, figure them out moments early in the season. And hopefully for Duke, this is, all right, now we're in gear. We know what we're going. We know what direction we're going. So, yeah, good job, Duke, for going there and getting and handling business.
Lots of sweeps. But before we talk about one last sweep, it's been interesting for UNC, your Tar Heels. Love them, right? doing well. They win the series against Syracuse at Syracuse, but Syracuse took game one. I just feel like, again, almost like back to that Virginia Tech conversation, like I feel like these are games on paper that UNC should be winning and just kind of falling short. So what are your thoughts right now on the Tar Heels and where they are?
We definitely have to give some credit to Syracuse. I think they played Duke really well, got a win there. They're able to, I don't want to say steal, because they're earning some wins out there against ranked opponents. People, like you said, on paper, not necessarily should win these games, but they are. I think they do have some talent. I think they're lacking the depth. That's why they're not getting multiple wins. But I also think UNC did not help themselves. I think they're saying you lose more games than you win them. Definitely think UNC made some just mental errors on defense, you know, dropping balls in the outfield. They just weren't clean that first game. And I think that's something that they're going to definitely take into consideration and just clean up the mental stuff. Know where to throw the ball, know what decisions to make in certain times, because the physical abilities there, it's just between the ears, I think, got to them against Syracuse.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. And Kat Rodriguez right now is the leading hitter in the ACC, and that's with anybody with 100 at-bats or more. I'm not talking to people that are one for one. Like, cool, but, you know, like, I need some legit numbers. She's leading the conference with an average of 477, which I think is insane. Leads the conference and country in RBIs. Again, insane.
One, I believe, is the number. That's a ton to have on April 1st.
Yeah. Like, but also I will say, like, the thing I love most about RBIs is that's like straight up how well my team is doing getting on base too, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not hitting them in if you're not on base.
And that's what she credits that all the time is her teammate. She goes, look, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them being on base. And I love that she has that perspective. Very selfless, great, just human being.
Yeah, you have to. And I love the acknowledgement. That's, to me, such a sign of maturity. So really good stuff. Madison Knight, talk about like pitching depth and stuff. So Madison Knight for Syracuse getting the bulk of the innings right now. I'm wondering if Syracuse has enough depth in the circle to sustain a season right now. I think the answer is no. Not to say that, you know, nobody's capable, but I think that's the reality. You've got Juliana Verney getting the second most innings, but it's just not a lot. And so to put all that on one player is really hard.
Especially in an ACC play when you're going against the same hitters three times. They're going to start making adjustments fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth time they see a pitcher. And we see it across the board, not just with Syracuse, when teams nowadays try to run on one arm and you just can't do it. But Madison Knight, she is so good. And I just think the adjustments that hitters are making day two, day three, makes her job really hard.
Right. And so like when we're looking at numbers and splits, kind of like we talked about with Florida State, like evenly splitting time amongst four people, throw in a fifth that's going to come in and also get some innings. Like you've got Madison Knight, they played 24 innings over the series and she threw 13 of them. So again, it's just a lot. And it's a lot easier as a hitter to adapt when you're like, okay, like I've seen this girl now how many times this weekend? Like right. I'm going into these at-bats a little bit more confident come Saturday, Sunday. So anything else on your Tar Heels? I mean, Kenna Ray Dark, she's really good in the circle too.
Yeah, she is. I think that's Carolina can hit. They can hit. They can score a ton of runs, but I think they give up a lot of runs too. I see so many glimpses of greatness from Kenna Ray and Britton Rogers. And then it's just like it goes away. And then they throw a great changeup. And then the next one's not a competitive pitch or a great rise ball with awesome break, great location. And then the next one's just not there. So just trying to find that consistency, because when you see it, you're like, shit, she can do it. She can do it. She can be that person. But I also think the freshman Lily Parrish may be an X factor for North Carolina, because she didn't get a lot of playing time early this season. And she got roughed up first week in Auburn, but she's starting to find her gear and nobody has any information on her. They haven't seen her throw. So keep an eye out for Lily Parrish.
Okay. I like it. So going back to another sweep, Cal gets swept at Clemson. Again, I think this one was pretty crazy. We wouldn't have bet our money on a sweep.
No. And there was zero love lost between the two teams. We talked about how Clemson is like becoming like this gritty team, kind of fighters, and Cal, we already know, they are a loud, in-your-face kind of team. And the two of them, they went after it. I mean, they took everything personally. And no, I didn't think Cal would go in there and get swept. But Clemson, they're starting to find their groove. And Rittman said that would happen. He didn't know who they were, what they were in Clearwater, where they got beat up pretty good. And he's like, hey, check in with me halfway through the season, and we'll know a little bit more. They're trending in the right direction.
They definitely are. And I think the most interesting thing, too, is, like, at least in my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong, but Clemson wasn't, like, that gritty, like, kind of, I don't, the word that comes to mind is nasty, but, like, I'm saying in a good way, like gritty, nasty, like, fighter mentality. They were kind of, like, always, like, very poised to me. Like, I just think of Kegel, right? Like, put together, like, you know, big players, big names, doing the job and setting the tone for the program. And now it's, like, they're just these scrappy fighters and, like, you know, they stay in ball games, and this is a different identity, and culture can be the same, but I think team identity is new year to year. And so I love them, like, embracing this, like the bat flips and stuff, like Maddie Moore. Okay. Like, what? So it was just really interesting to me, and that level of swag and that level of, like, I don't give a, you know what, like, getting the job done. So there's something about that that you can't teach.
Yeah. They've definitely abandoned the nice girl.
Yes. That's a great way to put it. The nice girl persona. They're not nice girls, like, in a good way. Like, I want them on my team kind of girls.
Yeah. And I want Julia Noller on my team too. And I want Maddie Insko, Cintron on my team. And you mentioned Maddie Moore. Those three, man, they're having a phenomenal year at the plate. So I like the mean girl Clemson.
Yeah, it's a good thing. But before we get into one of the last series on the weekend, let's talk real quick about road trips. I know this was a big one for you, even like as season was starting, like, what's it going to be like? How are these teams going to travel out west? How are they going to go east? Time difference, schedules, like length of travel, the whole nine.
Yeah, I'm going back to Georgia Tech when they went out to Cal. They dropped the first game. Mm-hmm. Then had a competitive next two games. But that first game, it seems like when teams are going across country, that first game's giving them issues. Cal came after they left Cal. 10-day road trip, went to Pitt and dropped a game to Pitt that they shouldn't have lost after that road trip. And then Stanford is on the tail end of their 10-day trip and gets swept by Virginia Tech. Yes. Cal, at the end of their 10-day road trip to the East Coast, gets swept by Clemson. So I think it's definitely having an effect. I don't care what anybody says. I think being on the road 10 days in the middle of ACC play with school, it's not like going down to Clearwater or Palm Springs for a pre-con tournament and having a little fun. It's 10 days on a road, different time zones. I'm sure the coaches next year will learn from these trips and try and do something different, but I really do think it's having an impact on the game and the performances.
Well, I think the other thing too is, like, throw in all of that stuff and then throw in the fact that you're playing series now and you're playing the same team time and time and time again, right? Back to back to back days. And I think that's a lot to do with it too. Is like, and I'm not saying anybody would ever use this excuse, right? And Amo said that best. Like, we can't ever use that as an excuse. We're dealt the cards we're dealt, and it is what it is. But my point is, like, you got to find ways to win. It's really hard to do it with all those factors and with, again, all the information now that these teams have.
It's just putting you in a tough situation and something you're going to have to figure out, but
yeah,
doesn't mean I have to like it.
Yeah, exactly. Got to figure it out. Don't have to love it, right?
Right.
So. That's good stuff. Okay, so Virginia loses the series in South Bend against Notre Dame.
What? Yeah.
What?
That, I did not expect that.
I didn't either.
Especially after the series they had against Cal. And, I mean, they had to fight and claw their way and come out on top against Cal. And then to go to Notre Dame, I think it's fair to say having a rebuild year with a new head coach and staff and whatnot. There's going to be some growing pains. But if Virginia wants to continue to get the attention that they had been getting about being a top 25 team, a postseason team, you can't go and lose a series to Notre Dame. You've got to be able to take care of business. And I don't know if this was they were on a high from that just hard fought series win against Cal and just thought, hey, this is Notre Dame. They're the bottom half of the ACC. We can just go in there and show up and win. And you can't do that in this conference.
Yeah, you definitely can't. And I think the other thing is, like, these teams, like, experience, we talk all the time. Experience is the best teacher. You talk about a team like Florida State, Clemson, Duke, they've gotten the experience. They put themselves on the big stages. They've lost on the big stages. They've recovered. They figure out ways to win. Now it's like, you've got Virginia Tech. Obviously, that's been our topic of conversation in the same boat. You've got Virginia. So maybe it's state of Virginia. and what's going on there. Maybe it's something in the air, but just about like now these teams are, and you see Virginia Tech now taking care of business because they've been the team that was getting national attention, they're putting up legit numbers, they're doing all these things. Why aren't they winning? Why aren't they advancing past regionals into supers? Why aren't they advancing past supers? And it's like, now they're doing that stuff in the sense of like taking care of the small things and having it reflect in the win-loss column. Then you go to Virginia, like sitting in the top 25 now, you know, and have been the last couple of weeks, but now it's like, how do we keep playing with the target on our back? How do we do this? Because now teams are coming after us and we do have that number attached to our name.
That's a good point. You can't practice playing in those moments. You have to experience them and you have to learn from that experience. And Virginia, for so long, they weren't a very competitive team, and now they're the ones going in as the favorited team. And how do they handle that? I think moving forward is going to show a lot.
Yeah, exciting stuff. So that was a big series win for the Irish. Anything else you want to highlight on them?
You know, they have had some big wins this year. Early in the year, they were down in Clearwater and upset Missouri, and they beat Penn State, San Diego State, all ranked teams when they played them. So I think they have the ability to beat some teams, and they've played Arizona, LSU, UCLA, Ohio State all this year, and they weren't shut out. They were decently competitive games. So the future's bright, I think, in South Bend.
Yeah, definitely. Good stuff all across the board for ACC. Got to acknowledge our Yellow Jackets. Georgia Tech got a huge win over Oklahoma State last week. That was exciting.
I texted Amo after that, just like some emoji. It's like, hell yeah. And she texts me back. She goes, it was all the podcast.
We'll put it in the group text next time.
My bad.
We got to get the good juju.
You were sleeping, I'm sure.
Well, you're probably right.
But yeah, if you want to get a big win, come on the podcast.
Yeah. They
needed it for sure after dropping that Tuesday game to Mercer. After, you know, that long road trip again, they were at Cal, then Pitt, then played Mercer on Tuesday and dropped that game. So I'll stop with that now.
Good stuff. Good stuff for Georgia Tech. Shout out Yellow Jackets. But just a couple things that coming up. We do have the ACC Championship in about 5-ish weeks.
Yeah. Right?
If I'm counting correctly.
I'm excited to get up there with you. That's going to be fun. The teams at the bottom are really fighting to get in because even with the addition of Stanford and Cal, they're still only letting 12 teams in. So it's not just going to be one team left at home. It's going to be three teams left at home this year. So everybody's trying to get that spot. And unfortunately for Boston College, man, they got hit with the injury bug so bad this year with Abby Dunning and Papillon. They're 1-2 great pitchers, both of them out. I thought going to be a resurgence of Boston College, but injuries happen and you just got to make the best of them. So maybe they go on a run and get to play and host this year, but we're getting close to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So control the controllables, I think, is bottom line. And, you know, handle things as you can, take care of business when the opportunity presents itself and just keep plugging away fighting when things don't feel like they're going your way. But a couple of big midweeks we have Florida State tomorrow.
We got that call, right?
On that call. Yeah.
What are you excited about? I don't know how far you are in your prep, but what do you expect from this game?
I think I'm most excited. Well, I could go both ways, and you're probably like, duh, when I say this, but I'm excited to see Florida State pitching against Florida hitting, and then that vice versa. I'm excited to see Rothrock's back, so wondering if she'll get the ball. I'm excited to see pitching versus Florida State hitting, because I just think that both sides are super elite, playing some of their best ball. Rothrock getting back in the game now, took a couple weeks off, so like well-rested, like legit, like has a legit rise ball. So I'm really fired up to see what's going on and how it goes down in Tallahassee.
There you go. That'll be a good one.
Yeah, well, Kentucky at Louisville, Liberty at Virginia Tech. Liberty is the silent assassin sometimes, but I love the amount of ACC teams that they get to play because of where they are geographically. So good stuff. That'll be a fun midweek.
Yeah, this is a rematch, right?
Yeah.
Lindley threw a no-hitter against them last time.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I have to go back and check my notes, but
I think this Liberty, they always have some grit and it could be a revenge game. Virginia Tech coming off that crazy series sweep against Stanford. There's a lot of things that could go wrong. But Virginia Tech, if they want to be a top 16 seed, and now that's what we're talking about now, hosting, like they've got to take care of business midweek during conference play. And it goes for everybody, but especially for Virginia Tech when, you know, they have a really good chance of hosting postseason.
Yeah, definitely. Good conference matchups this weekend as well. You got Virginia at Florida State. I'll also be on the call for that one. Syracuse at Georgia Tech. UNC at Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson at Stanford. Let's see how Clemson travels out west. Yes. I'm pumped.
Yeah. There's going to be some good matchups and a lot of stuff on the line. I mean, we're at that breakaway point in the season. One team can take their stock up and other teams can take it down pretty dramatically this part of the year.
Yeah. So really good stuff. Don't forget to comment, message, whatever it is, anything that you guys would want to see incorporated into our topics and our podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe to our videos, all things covering ACC softball. We do talk some national stuff depending on what's going on. But yeah, you know where to find your ACC softball coverage. So, Britt, did I miss anything?
You nailed it.
Nailed it. All right. Love that. All right. And I'm just glad I've got good Wi-Fi this week. So here we are. Struggled the last couple weeks. So good stuff. But all right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Up the Coast with Alex and Britt. See ya.